Interested citizens gathering across America.
Whether you're a senior citizen or just a type, just grab a seat and pay attention as I rock the mic.
To have a conversation about health care reform.
Just say no.
Ooh, with a conversation starter like Just Say No, President Obama should have a great time up in New Hampshire this afternoon.
Just say no.
No. There, I said it. I'm The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, August 11. Young J.H. here. I'm John Hockenberry, joined this morning by Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, John.
Now, most of our listeners would know you from the program Day to Day on NPR, right?
But That's correct.
Longtime radio reporter and an opera singer.
I am.
All right, so if all our guests die, you can sing for us, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll crack it out the Verdi.
All right, great. So, coming up this hour, texting while dating not recommended, and the first trial vaccines for the H1N1 virus debuted yesterday. We talked with a volunteer. And also, new interest rate rules for credit cards come out this winter. Some companies are trying to increase their rates before the deadline. But first, joining us now, Corey Lewandowski, New Hampshire State Director for Americans for Prosperity, an advocacy organization that opposes Obama's health care plan. Corey, good morning.
Morning, John. Good to be here.
Now, would you consider Just Say No, the chant Just Say No, a conversation starter on health care reform?
I think it's more of a chant of don't let a doctor, don't let the government get between you and your doctor.
I think Just Say No is a little catchier, though.
It probably is, but it doesn't really get to the message.
All right, stick around, Corey. We want to talk about that message in just a moment. But first, a look at some of the morning's other top headlines. Burmese pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi must spend 18 more months confined to her home. She was convicted today of violating the terms of her house arrest by allowing an American man to stay with her. He was given a 7-year sentence, including 4 years hard labor for swimming across that lake. You may remember the story. In Taiwan, a helicopter on a mission to rescue villagers from a mudslide has crashed into a mountain. Mudslides caused by Typhoon Morakot have covered entire villages in Taiwan. The country's military has rescued more than 260 people, but hundreds more are still missing. Other parts of Asia were hit early this morning by two strong earthquakes. In Japan, one person was killed, dozens more injured, after a 6.5 magnitude quake hit in Tokyo. Another quake registering magnitude 7.6 hit in the Indian Ocean, causing countries in the region to issue tsunami warnings. We're watching that. Here in the U.S., as we mentioned, President Obama is making his pitch for health care reform to a state where 89% of residents have health insurance. He's holding a town hall meeting today in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. About 1,800 people are expected. In economic news, a congressional oversight panel says the TARP bailout plan may have helped stabilize Wall Street, but banks remain threatened by billions of dollars in bad loans that remain on the books. The panel releases a report on the TARP later today. Wall Street mostly flat yesterday. The Dow opens today at 9338. The S&P starts trading at 1007, and the Nasdaq kicks off at 1992. So healthcare town halls have become loud and fierce. We want you to join in and play along. If you were one of the chanters, what would your mantra be? Just say no, public option, or I have a question, sir. Chant to us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email, mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee.
Good morning.
So, you know, it is a fusion of democracy and technology, as well as a discussion about healthcare. But I don't know if you've noticed on CNN and other networks, they've posted videos of all these town meetings, standing up, yelling, people asking questions, that sort of thing. We're asking on the Takeaway a question this morning, what would you be at one of these meetings? Would you be a chanter? Would you be the congressperson? What do you think you'd be?
So, I would probably be the one avoiding the chanters and saying, fix it already. That would be my mantra.
You'd be sitting there taking notes.
I would be taking notes and saying, less talk,
See, I'm Mr. Pre-existing condition dude with like a wheelchair and
right.
you know, five kids and all that sort of thing. I would probably be asking questions. I'd be trying to ask a question,
yeah,
so I wouldn't
right.
be a chanter. But neither of us would be these folks. Now, that's the sound of a healthcare protester chanting outside a town hall in Tampa, Florida on August 6th of this year. Which would you be? 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Give us your chant and your role in the town meetings that are happening all across America. And in New Hampshire this afternoon, there's a town meeting with Barack Obama presiding. And there or thereabouts will be Corey Lewandowski, who we welcome back to the program, New Hampshire State Director for the conservative advocacy group Americans for Prosperity. First of all, what are you preparing for the town meeting in Portsmouth, New Hampshire later today, Corey?
So while we have been excluded from attending the town hall meeting inside because the White House has been very, very stringent on who they let into the event, unlike any other president who has come to New Hampshire, as you know, in New Hampshire, we have a history of a first-in-the-nation primary and being able to see our elected officials on a first-name, first-hand basis.
So kind of the live free or die thing, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
but this administration has basically removed any opportunity for anybody who does not agree with the administration's policy from getting into the event. So we'll be hosting a protest directly outside the event, and we will rival the number of people inside this town hall meeting.
Right. Well, Corey, you've got people inside, right? I mean, come on.
No, here's what they did.
Sure
literally.
You do. No, you. I know you have them. They didn't say it. They said that they're, like, working for the ACLU, but you got them inside, right?
No, honestly, let me tell you what happened. Every other president dating back to President Carter has always administered tickets to these types of events via the members of Congress in the U.S. Senate in New Hampshire. This administration, however, made each person apply directly to the White House with your name, address, email, and phone number. They then vetted you, determined if you were worthy of coming in to listen to the president directly, and then called you. So the White House has very closely orchestrated this entire event.
All right. Well, you know, presidents orchestrating events to control the message is hardly unprecedented in America. But why don't I turn it to you then? What would be the productive outcome if a meeting with Barack Obama, who's a busy guy, you know, and Americans do want to talk about health care, were to go to a meeting that just erupted into that kind of chanting and screaming that we heard a moment ago?
I agree it's not productive. However, there are a number of questions which need to be answered here. And the administration and, by extension, the elected officials in Congress, the majority party, have done nothing to answer those. The first question that we really want to find out is, how are you going to pay for a $1.5 trillion piece of legislation which has been scored by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office?
Corey, did you ask that same question about the TARP or the bailout of AIG or any of those other things? Or the Iraq War?
So, here, you know, since this administration has come into power, they've spent $3 trillion attempting to stimulate the economy. With that amount of money, we literally could have given every person who goes to work every day zero federal income tax for 1 year, every small business zero federal income tax for a year. That would have stimulated the economy. These bailouts are a disaster.
All right. Finally, in New Hampshire, 89% of the people have health care. Is there anything wrong with a public option for the people who don't have health care if that's all this bill turns out to be? Because 89% of the people in New Hampshire aren't really even going to be affected by this.
Well, and again, that's a misnomer. Once the government gets into the business of providing health care, the private companies that are already involved in this cannot compete.
Corey, buddy, have you ever heard of Medicare?
Absolutely.
Government's in the business, bud.
But here's the difference. As you know, the U.S. House's plan was to mandate that any employer that has a payroll of $100,000 or more was going to be required to give the government option. The conservative Blue Dog Democrat coalition in Congress stepped in and said that number is too low.
And they're definitely a part of the debate, and that may end up in the final bill. Corey, we've got to leave it there. Good luck later today, and maybe we'll look for you tomorrow.
Hey, thank you so much.
Corey Lewandowski is State Director for Americans for Prosperity Conservative Advocacy Group that will be in New Hampshire later today to debate Obama's health care plan. Joining us now is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He joins us from Princeton. Good morning, professor.
Good morning.
What is the historical tradition of these kinds of events you know, where Americans attempt to confront their legislators. And, you know, there's really more of a tactical battle between one group trying to get on television and another group trying to get answers about policy.
Well, look, there's two trends that we've seen in these town hall meetings. One is the kind of grassroots activism that really flourished in the 1960s and 70s, both on the left and the right, where, you know, organizations and citizens come out to every meeting where a politician will be and make their opinion known, and often cause kind of choreographed events for the media to see, you know, what the public opinion is out there. The second, though, is this AstroTurf phenomenon, where it's really Washington-based organizations funded by corporations that are creating the impression of a grassroots operation, disturbing and disrupting meetings, but without really a genuine grassroots constituency behind it.
Julian, can I just push back on you there? I mean, what is grassroots anymore? Everybody's got a computer. Everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody's like either in the audience on Oprah or they're up being, you know, hugged by her. I mean, there's no such thing as grassroots anymore in the traditional Saul Alinsky sense, is there?
No, I think that is a fair point. I mean, it's harder to know where there is grassroots and where there isn't. But I think there is a difference between something that genuinely comes out of local civic organizations and citizen organizations versus an operation that's literally choreographed by a Washington group, where there is nothing, you know, on the ground that starts this process. It's really started by an office in Washington.
Although the White House is in Washington. I mean, that's an office in Washington orchestrating the town meeting, right?
Well, the White House is setting up an appearance for the president, and clearly at this point they are, you know, deciding who's going to come and who's not going to come. But in terms of the protests we've seen thus far, I think that's something different.
All right, let's just take a look at the Boston Tea Party analogy, which some of these groups have actually adopted in this particular fight. Now, that was an act of economic, it's fair to say, terrorism against the King of England, you know, quite a while ago. Is it appropriate to use that metaphor to, you know, say that this is democracy in action on health care when people show up to do this kind of thing and claim that they're, you know, throwing the tea in the sea?
It is. I mean, look, democracy has an ugly side, too. And the rabble-rousers and people who take intimidating tactics rather than, you know, using deliberation has been something we've seen throughout the history of American democracy. So there is a tradition. I'm not sure they want to affiliate themselves with that tradition, but there clearly is a tradition of using these kind of tactics, in-your-face intimidation, you know, rather than actually questioning the people who were there.
Given Obama's electoral mandate and the majority by the Democrats in both houses of Congress, is this an example of the tradition in American democracy of the minority standing up like filibusters in the Senate to stop, you know, what looks like something that's going to get done because the electoral numbers are just with the reformers here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. Obviously, the filibuster is a procedure in the Senate, and there is still room for debate, even when there's a filibuster. I think what disturbs a lot of people about the way these protests are conducted is they don't even allow room for debate. It's true obstructionism at this point that we've seen in some of these town hall meetings. And I don't know. I think that crosses the line, and that could easily cause a backlash against the opponents of reform rather than against the reform itself.
So I guess I could probably answer my own question, but as a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, if you were to be at one of these meetings, I gather you wouldn't be one of the chanters, right, Julian Zelzer?
Yeah. No, I'd want to be one of the questioners, to be honest, both of the, you know, legislator or president, or but also of the people on both sides of the aisle. I don't think the yelling gets us that far.
All right, here's one of our listeners deciding what they would want to be.
This is James in Boston, and I would urge everyone to just say no, 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 no.
So, Julian, is that grassroots or is that AstroTurf, buddy?
That I don't know who the person is, but if it's just someone in Boston, that certainly could be grassroots.
Right.
That could just be a citizen expressing their views.
Oh, great stuff. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So we want to hear where you would be at one of these town meetings. Would you be the chanter? Would you be the questioner? Would you be the congressperson? Would you be the president? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And Leo Duran, our producer, wants you to actually chant on the line. So do that for him, won't you?
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.